You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 9th of March 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a couple of bits of news today from Britain that I want to get into. The first bit of news is something which keeps popping up and it's very good that it gets this issue in the public eye. But I'm also concerned that people aren't really putting in the necessary precautions that they need to before getting involved in this sort of thing. And what I'm referring to is the anti-immigration leaflets that are being posted out. And the leaflets themselves are completely legal. They just have statistics on them. They have easily verifiable statistics on them. They've been checked by a solicitor. And yet each time these leaflets get posted out, the press complain about them, they moan about them. And that's really not a problem. I mean, that is really pretty good because it gets the issue into the press. It's pretty much like putting an advert in the press for Patriotic Alternative. But the issue is, as I say, it's not the leaflets themselves, it's what the mindset is of the people that are posting them. We'll start with the article first. Residents in an area of Gloucestershire have had anti-immigration leaflets pushed through their letterboxes. Now, this is something that political parties have always done and organisations have always done. I mean, you must have seen Labour Party leaflets, Conservative Party leaflets, COVID information, Green Party leaflets. You do get leaflets put through your letterbox. I mean, it's a way to get your message out to people. Another way of doing it is to put inserts into free newspapers. This is another way that people do things. And so long as what is being sent out is legal, it really shouldn't be a problem, should it? Police have taken action after leaflets claiming that white Britons are to be a minority by the 2060s or sooner have been landing on doormats of homes in Stroud. The leaflets are published by an organisation called Patriotic Alternative and argue of the damage caused by immigration to the UK. And this is the point. The leaflets are legal because it is talking about the damage caused by immigration. It's talking about the damage caused by a government policy. It's not talking about the damage caused by the immigrants, but by immigration. And you are allowed to criticise government policies. It doesn't mean you're being hostile to immigrants because you are criticising the government policy here. What we are trying to do is get the government to change their policy because currently their immigration policy is harmful to everybody in Britain, not just whites, but it impacts negatively every race that's in Britain because everybody becomes more crowded, facilities end up being crowded, hospitals crowded, schools crowded, harder to get work. I mean, it's just harder all around on everybody if you have an open doors immigration policy, which we appear to have in Britain. A police spokesman said, "Legal advice obtained by Stroud Police suggests that the content and delivery of the material may amount to an offence under Section 18 of the Public Order Act, the use of written material to stir up racial hatred." And this is important. It's not the material itself. It's the delivery of the material. It's the fact that it's being delivered. And they say it may amount to an offence. It may not. Whether it amounts to an offence or not relies on the intent of the person that is posting it. And how can the intent of the person that is posting it be ascertained? Well, a precedent was set with the National Action Trials a couple of years back, and it was decided that if it could be shown that the people that were in the dock had similar or the same views to the ones that National Action had, it was decided that that was evidence that they were members of National Action. It had nothing to do with a membership list. It had nothing to do with them having anything to do with people that had formerly been members of National Action. It was simply down to, did the material on their devices and the material that they read, did that have a similarity to material that National Action had put out? And this was called mindset. And it was basically trying to show that the accused had the same mindset as people in National Action. And this has now been expanded to these other accusations of hate crimes. And this accusation that there may be an offence here under Section 18 of the Public Order Act. Because the law is that you are not allowed speech that incites racial hatred. And in order to determine whether a speech is to incite racial hatred, they have to show that there is an intent. And the way that you show there is an intent is by looking at the material that the person looks at and by looking at the social media messages that the person sends. And if the police can find social media messages which express hostile intent towards migrants, and if they discover reading material that shows hostile intent towards migrants, then what they will say is that this leaflet that is completely legal, that criticizes immigration, they will say that the reason why this leaflet was delivered was to incite racial hatred, because that is what this person wanted to do. Look at the books that he reads, look at the messages that he sends out. So it's not the leaflet that is the problem here. The problem is if the people that are delivering the leaflets have messages on their social media which use racial slurs or which encourage violence against minorities, and if they read books that express a desire for violence against ethnic minorities. And this is really the issue. It really needs to be hammered home that if people are going to deliver these leaflets, and it's a great thing that people are delivering them, that they are getting up and are getting out there and they're drawing attention to this, but they must make certain that their social media does not have any hostility expressed towards migrants on there. I mean, it's not hard to do, or just criticise immigration, criticise government policies. Don't criticise the actual migrants themselves, or if you are going to criticise the migrants themselves, then make certain that you explain that you're highlighting these actions because it's actually the government policy of immigration that you are criticising, and that you don't blame the migrants for the way that they are acting, that you blame the government for its policy of bringing them in. And it's a subtle difference there, but it could be all that's needed to ensure that somebody is not sent to jail. Because I'm very worried that people will be delivering these leaflets thinking, well, the leaflet is completely legal, so I'm completely safe doing this. But they might have a phone that is filled up full of hostile messages, full of racial slurs, and that means that they could then get into trouble for this. And this is the reason why people say, well, the law is applied in different ways, because the Jewish press can talk about how Jews control Hollywood, the massive amount of Jewish influence that they have in politics, or the number of Jews that are in Biden's cabinet, or the fact that all the lawyers at the Trump impeachment hearing were Jewish. And the Jewish press can talk about that, and they don't get accused of being anti-Semites. So it must be that the law is being selectively applied here, because if nationalists talk about it, we get accused of being anti-Semites. It's not that the law is being applied in a different way. What it is it's the intent that matters. When the Jews talk about Jewish influence in the Jewish press, their intent is to celebrate that. They are not intending to incite hostility or hatred against their own people, are they? But sometimes when you look at when nationalists talk about the same things, they might also express hostility towards the Jews. And then they can be accused of anti-Semitism, and they can be accused of inciting racial hatred by discussing the same issues. So when you're talking about Jewish influence, you have to make it clear that you're not discussing it because you're trying to incite hostility against Jews. You are discussing it because you want to draw attention to the fact that there is this competition going on, and that we as whites need to up our game, and we need to be taking part in this competition and not working for the other side. It's not about expressing hostility. It's not about inciting hatred. It's about inspiring a sense of unity among whites so that we can win in this competition in the same way that all these other groups are trying to win in this competition. So we can discuss the same issues, but we have to make it clear that we are not doing so because we are trying to incite hatred. So it's not that the law is being applied differently. The fact of the matter is that people don't understand what the actual law is. It's all about the intent. It's all about the intent that people have when they deliver these leaflets. And of course, their intent, most of the time, I would suggest, is not to incite hostility against anyone. But if they have been irresponsible with their tweets or their commenting and said some silly things, then that could be used to claim that they're trying to incite racial hatred. I mean, I really do think that people need to be more careful about what they're putting in their comments, in their chat rooms, on their Twitter, on their Facebook. Make it really clear that what we are criticizing is government policy and not people. And if you're going to criticize an individual, make certain that you are criticizing that individual. You're not criticizing him because of what race he is. You're criticizing him because he's an individual and he has committed that crime. And if you're going to say, well, this group of people, they end up doing more crimes in society, you need to say, well, that is because they are a different people to us. It's not because they are in some way defective because of what race they are. They're just doing it because that comes natural to them, and we shouldn't be judging them in the same way that we judge white people. We can't judge anybody else in the same way that we judge white people because we are not these other peoples. If you were black, you could express judgment on other blacks. If you were Jewish, you could express judgment on other Jews. If you're white, you can only express judgment on white people. But we can point out the damaging effects some of these policies have caused on whites through the behaviour of these other groups. But it's not because we're trying to express hostility towards these groups or incite hostility towards them. We're trying to prevent strife and a conflict by discussing it. Continuing with this article here, the police say this is something that we are very keen to investigate further. In the first instance, we would like to hear from you, either with a reply to this message or via our website, if you have received a patriotic alternative leaflet. Now, you would have thought that the first thing that the police would do would be looking at patriotic alternative to check that they don't have any hostile intent. And of course, they know that. They know that Patriotic Alternatives literature doesn't break the law. That has already been admitted. So that's the reason why they are not looking at Patriotic Alternative. Instead, they are looking at the people that are delivering the leaflets. And they say this. They say, we are also hoping to identify the person or people who are making the deliveries. that's who they're trying to get here. They're trying to get the people that are making the deliveries. People that are delivering these leaflets, they need to be very, very careful what they put on their social media. I would suggest just going through and having a look at what you've put on your social media. Make sure there's no racial slurs. Make sure there's no hostility that is expressed. Make sure there's no excitement at if an ethnic minority has been attacked somewhere or anything like that. And make sure that you're just not criticizing these people. You are not criticizing these people because of what people they are, but you're criticizing them because of the effect that they have on your people. And you are not blaming them for acting in that way because it is a way that is of benefit to them. I mean, all these different groups, they have different strategies that are of benefit to them. So we can't really criticize them for doing things which are in their best interests. They may not be in our best interests, and that's the point here. But we shouldn't be hostile towards them for that. And it may help with these leaflets to make it clear on there that they are targeted at white people. They're not targeted at non-whites. They are targeted at white people to get white people to have more of a sense of unity. I mean, that's the whole point of Patriotic Alternative, is to form a community of like-minded white people that put other white people first. It's just the Christian attitude of love your neighbor more than yourself, isn't it? Love your nation more than yourself. Put your nation first. It's positive ethnocentrism. It's not about hostility. And this is what the people making these deliveries need to be expressing. They need to be all about the positive ethnocentrism and not about negative ethnocentrism. And then I believe they will be safe delivering the leaflets. And that's what this is all about. We don't want to see people getting into trouble with the law for delivering completely legal leaflets because their social media accounts show an intent to incite racial hatred. Right, let's move on to another article here. On Saturday, The Telegraph reported that Smith's grave in Edinburgh's Canongate Kirkyard, as well as his statue on the Royal Mile, have been added to the list of sites tied to historical racial injustice, despite the fact that the 17th century Enlightenment thinker expressed opposition to the use of slave labour. And of course, this is Adam Smith, the economist, that is being talked about here. Documents seen by the paper said that Smith was included in the Woke Review because he argued that slavery was ubiquitous and inevitable, but that it was not as profitable as free labour. And this is the point. This is the point that I've made so many times. It's not like slavery was just for free. It's not like it didn't have any costs. The actual costs for slavery, the cost of buying the slave, housing the slave, feeding the slave, medicating the slave, providing a creche for the slave, providing for the slave when he was living in his old age and was no longer able to work, all of that actually cost more money than paying people wages. That's what it's saying here. It's not as profitable as free labour. Free labour meant people working for a wage. So what he was saying here is that slavery actually cost more money than when people were working for wages. And yet, the way people look at it today, they think that these slaves were forced to work because it didn't cost the slave owner anything. And it did. It cost the slave owner even more. This is why these plantations were compensated when the slaves were freed, because it had cost them so much money in investment to get these people. I mean, you think about it. If you're buying a slave, you're going to have to pay all his costs for his entire life, a whole lifetime's worth of housing costs, food costs, medication costs. That's a hell of a lot of money that these slave owners were paying out. That's why they were compensated when these slaves were freed. And Adam Smith pointed that out. Nearly 50 years before the abolition of slavery, Smith wrote in his 1759 work, the theory of moral sentiments in regards to the African slave trade, Fortune never exerted more cruelly her empire over mankind than when she subjected those nations of heroes to the refuse of the jails of Europe. And I think what he's talking about there is the exporting of prisoners from Britain to Australia to build up Australia. So he obviously didn't support slavery, and he didn't support the idea of sending these prisoners over to Australia. Eventually, they did build a fantastic civilization, and in actual fact, they were better off in Australia than they were in Britain. And the same goes for the white indentured servants that were sent to America, that were just snatched up off the streets of Britain and sent over to America to work essentially as slaves. They were better off as well. It's only the blacks that we refuse to admit have actually been much, much, much better off with slavery than they ever were living in Africa. The father of economics also argued that slave owners should be held in moral contempt by their slaves, as well as that the economic system of slavery was less efficient than a system of voluntary exchange of capital and labour. So why are they calling for his statues to be pulled down? Why are they saying that he's the bad guy in these woke reviews? He was basically speaking the truth. He wasn't a slave owner. He didn't agree with slavery. But his reason for not agreeing with slavery is because it wasn't an efficient spending of funds. It wasn't an efficient usage of funds. A far more efficient usage of it would have been to hire people out and pay them wages. Responding to the latest attacks on British heritage, Robert Pohl of the Save Our Statues campaign said, "Edinburgh's statue review is out of control, severely lacking in due process, balance and expertise, and a sad illustration of what happens when we rush to hand over editorial control of our history to activists. Smith was a titan of Scotland's enlightenment, and that his views can be so quickly and wrongly reinterpreted shows the risk currently hanging over our history." Of course, what they're trying to do with our history, they're trying to wipe it all out so that they can come up with a new history, with a new version of history where white countries have always been multicultural. It's just like the year zero of Pol Pot and the communist campaigns. We also have some other news here from Scotland. Scotland's oldest public museum has created the position of curator of discomfort to take the museum out of its institutional comfort zone and confront historical and modern day white supremacy. This is so insidious. This is Scotland's oldest public museum here. Museums are tasked with preserving history. And instead of preserving history now, they are seeking to completely rewrite it and attack the people who made the history. And it's white people that recorded history. It wasn't blacks. They didn't record any history. White people recorded history. And now we're trying to rewrite it. And we want to actually make the people that recorded the history, we want to make them uncomfortable. We want to create posts of curator of discomfort. In a blog post explaining the curator of discomfort position, Miss Yeaman said that she will embark on exploring white supremacy as an economic and cultural system in which white Western ideals control the power of the text, the material resources, and ideas of cultural superiority. Well, as I just pointed out, it was white people that recorded all the history. So of course it's going to be about white people. Of course it's going to have white ideals, because they were the only people that could read and write at the time. The newly installed curator went on to say that her goals will extend beyond merely attacking Scottish heritage, which she claimed honours people with racist ideology, but will also seek to dismantle the structural and institutional racism that is perpetuated today and transforming comfortable narratives to include the uncomfortable, unvarnished truth. So we have a public museum here, one of the oldest public museums in Scotland, employing somebody to attack Scottish heritage. The whole reason for having the museum is to preserve Scotland's heritage. And we are now doing the complete opposite of what we should be doing. She concluded by saying that in her efforts, she will seek to partner with anti-racist activists, communities, academics, heritage institutions, and heritage professionals to decolonise Scottish society. So what she means there is she's going to attack the academics and the heritage institutions and the heritage professionals unless they subscribe to her view that white people are bad and black people are good. She's not saying there that she's actually going to work with historians. What she wants to do is force historians to write a new history that lionises and glorifies the people that never had any history. The woke purge has extended throughout British academia, heritage bodies and museums alike. In August, for example, the British Museum removed the bust of its founder, Sir Hans Sloane, from its pedestal amidst Black Lives Matter-inspired outrage over his ties to the slave trade. So this is the guy that founded the museum, and they've removed all trace of him. They're now embarrassed about him. They wouldn't even have a museum if it was not for this man. The Natural History Museum followed suit, launching a review into supposedly offensive and problematic collections, including exotic birds collected by English naturalist Charles Darwin. And this is referring to the names of some of these birds, because in the past, if you discovered a new animal or a bird or a piece of fauna, you would name it after yourself. That was the point. I was the first person to discover this, so it was named after me. And of course, that meant that it was all white people that named these creatures, because it was white people that were interested in it. It was because it was white people that came up with the science of biology and botany. And it was white people that recorded the different names for these things. And now, because we did that, and we're now somehow wrong for doing that, that is somehow white supremacy, just honouring our great people from the past is now white supremacy. Of course, because they were supreme, weren't they? They were great people. They did great things. That's why we honour them. We're not allowed to honour them anymore, are we? We're supposed to be honouring people that didn't do anything. We're supposed to be honouring mediocrity now. Because if you want to have equality, if you want to make everything equal, that means that you have to raise up the mediocre and you have to squash down the superior. And it means that you just get to an average and you don't ever have anything superior anymore. You just have everything mediocre and tepid, and you just don't advance any further than where we are now. Our civilization is not going to advance any more than it's at now if we continue with this drive for equality, because equality is completely unnatural. It does not exist in the natural world. The natural world is full of hierarchies, and that is the natural way for white people to live, is with a hierarchy. But of course, you can only have a true hierarchy if you are living just among your own people. If you're going to have other races there, then you're going to have this, you're going to have an uneven hierarchy, aren't you? You're going to have races with lower IQs at the bottom and races with higher IQs at the top. And of course, that's going to feed into this sense of being oppressed and there being discrimination. And the only way that you can get rid of that, you can prevent that, is to just separate the peoples. It's the simplest solution, and it's the only solution that will work. That's all we need to do, is just separate the peoples, separate the races, so that we have our own territories again, and the world would be so much a better place. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.